And hello, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Wasn't that exciting yesterday? Gee. Exciting programming that we did. Today we want to talk about something else. Today I want to talk about a new picture of self-exposure, you know, of lying and telling the truth and showing yourself and not showing yourself, being real and not being real. What's it all about? I want to show you some different ways of seeing it, including seeing yourself. If you consider what's happening in today's world, between email, blogging, YouTube, and text messaging, people are writing more to each other, and they're sending more information about themselves through this wireless system more than they would have ever done normally. You know, in the old days, many years ago, you lived in a house. You kind of told your truth to the people around you. You kind of kept private on the outside. You know, your community knew a little about you, but they didn't know, you know, your bathroom habits and other things like that. But within your family, they may know. See, that's a possibility. But back in the old days, there was very little exposure of self publicly. Today, people are glorying in the ability to tell what they feel, what they think. And they're doing this through either YouTube, which is on the internet, blogging, or they do it by email, talking to their friends, I mean, or text messaging. Or even leaving messages, as we learned recently, on telephone messages that could be exposed, you know. But there's a whole bunch of ways that you can now talk about yourself and what you feel that you wouldn't have had available to you before the electronic media. And this has led to a group of people, who believe that they want to talk about themselves, as opposed to people who don't want to talk about themselves. There seems to be a growing group of people who want to say, here I am and here's who I am. Some of them want to tell you the truth about who they are, and others don't want to tell you the truth about who they are. So the question comes up once again about this phenomenon of deception, lying. It turns out that humans have a higher capacity for deception than any other life form. Because not only do we do it in body form, in physical forms, wearing clothing, getting implants, you know, that whole thing, facelifts, makeup, suntan spray, hair stuff, all of that. So that's a human way. Not only do we have the physical ways, but we have the verbal way of lying, telling people we are something we're not, or telling people they are something they're not, you know, using the non-truth. So the human mind has this incredible capacity to create realities that are not possible for other animals to do. Other animals use deception. We know the possum makes believe it's dead so that it doesn't get eaten up. You know, we know that animals who growl sometimes growl even though they're powerless just to keep people away. The rattlesnake is really trying to scare you. It doesn't want to bite you. It doesn't want to eat you. It just wants to scare you, so it uses its rattle. And so, you know, we sometimes use that kind of deception, but humans are amazing in the myriad ways that they could use their minds to deceive. Lies and other forms of deceptions have become a part of our daily lives. They are used as a way to avoid or handle uncomfortable situations. Politicians tell partial truths to get more votes. Yesterday I saw McCain was on the Jon Stewart show. It was Senator McCain. And Senator McCain was talking about, you know, how he seems so wide open and wonderful he is. And then Jon Stewart joked about the dog that they have downstairs. And McCain said, oh, yeah, I was looking for that dog so I could kick him. And then he carefully went past that conversation. And this whole lie of I'm a friendly, wonderful guy, suddenly he's a guy who kicks dogs. And they passed it right by. But you see, truths leak out. And they leak out just like that. It's a very funny thing. You know, he must have lost 2 million votes just at that one statement. Lies and other forms of deception, they use. Politicians tell partial truths. The media often provides biased coverages of current events, and those are lies. I was just recently reading about how even 9/11 was reported on one of the news stations with artificial pictures. Somebody created better pictures of the planes going into the buildings artificially, and those were replayed over and over again on one of the major news stations, knowing they were false pictures. Better news. Magazines become famous by exaggerating stories about beyond recognition, right? Children and adults escape punishment by lying. That's what children do. Not me. I didn't do it. Johnny started it. In the business world, deception is almost the basis. It's too common a practice, so much so that it's expected. How can you know if they're telling the truth? You expect that they're not telling the truth. You expect that they're shading the truth for your benefit. Just as almost all advertising. So we have this deception, lying world. Now, Western intellectuals have long argued that lying is morally wrong. Some philosophers have gone to so far as to defend lying. Plato defended it. He said it's the noble lie. Nietzsche confronted the moral attitudes by saying, why do we have to tell the truth anyway? What's the difference? But lies hurt you. Despite the pervasive disapproval of lying, people indicate that they lie frequently and they do not have a great deal of remorse about doing so. Why do people lie so easily and so often? Researchers have found a number of things that you are going to find fascinating. Because I'm sure you're part of the crowd. Types of lies. Saving face. That's one type of lie. A lie to save face. A lie to avoid conflict. Right? Somebody comes to you and says they want to... Right? Obtaining power. Lying to get a job. Lying to get something. Influencing social interactions, alienating people from each other, trying to position yourself in social interactions. Controlling levels of intimacy, telling a lie to a lover for one reason or another to either get closer or move away or do something like that. Or defending yourself is another great form of lying, category of lying. Somebody confronts you, you just defend yourself by lying. And then the last is protecting self-esteem. It's like saving face, but you're really trying to make yourself feel good about yourself. People also lie to obtain something they want or to flatter others. Flattering is a form of lying. Now, deception in itself is an act that's intended to foster in another person a belief or understanding which the deceiver considers false. Get this? Now, this is according to Zuckerman, DiPaolo, and Rosenthal in 1981, gave us this definition. A deception is an act that is intended to foster in another person a belief that I, the deceiver, believe is false. One specific type of deception is lying. A lie is an untrue statement made with the intent to deceive. It's the Merriam Dictionary. An untruth meant to deceive. In other words, it's a verbal form of deception. So the question we pose, why do we do this? Why do we have it? Why not just live on who we are? Why not just be who we are and take the consequences? Why not have a whole society of people who are real? What would go on? Why do we want to have it the other way? Wouldn't it be nice? Imagine if everybody told the truth. Would it work? Well, this society has determined that that would not work. We don't want to see it that way. In fact, religion was born with cover up your feelings, you know, hold back those feelings. A lot of societies are born on, you know, crime is you must hold back a lot of your passions or you get persecuted for it in some way. We don't know. I don't know if we have a truthful, desirously truthless society. So there must be a part of us that is so used to telling lies that we die to tell the truth. And then when we get a chance on a blog, a YouTube, I was looking at YouTube the other day, and in YouTube they showed my most embarrassing moments. They had people who actually showed videos of embarrassing moments. Now, they must have been videoing themselves, and then they had an embarrassing moment. And they videoed it, and they put it on the internet for people to see. What is it about that? Why do you want people to see your embarrassing moments? Other people, when they email each other, or when they write text messaging, the number of text messaging is overwhelming. It's an amazing number. You tell everything about yourself. You tend to tell so much more than you would ever tell in person. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, teaching you something about the art of deception and how we deceive ourselves. I'm going to take you through a little game with this yourself and with me. Now, it appears that there are two basic kinds of lies. Those that definitely directly benefit the liar and those intended to benefit others. It is likely that lies that benefit others are considered to be more acceptable than lies benefiting the self because they generally do less harm. In addition, the acceptability of lies may vary depending on who the recipient is. Lies told to friends were rated as more reprehensible than any other lie. Lies told to associates or to strangers were more acceptable. Lies told to friends were not acceptable. The most acceptable second form of lie? Lies told to your spouse. Lies told to spouses are totally acceptable. You know, it becomes part of the system. I'll lie to you, you lie to me. Now, maybe not big lies, like things like, you know, infidelity and things like that, but small lies. How do I look? You look great. You know, do we have enough money? Sure, we got enough money. You know, don't worry about it. Lies. Back and forth, you know. What did that cost? You, I see you bought a new bag. What did that cost? That cost nothing. I got it for $5. Right? Stuff like that, the people go back and forth. So lies with a spouse is very acceptable, according to most people. It's considered acceptable to a lot of people. Now, there are a lot of cultural factors that affect lying as well. Get this. If you have a culture in which uncertainty is acceptable, well, what would that be? Or uncertainty does not engender as great as anxiety as it does with other cultures. So if you take a very controlled culture, let's say the Germanic culture, Germans, they got all their ducks lined up, right? Not all Germans, but they like to line up their ducks. They like things to be predictable. And if you're somebody like that and that's the way you like it to be, lies are much more difficult than if you're somebody who has uncertainty a part of your culture, a part of your life. Like in certain parts where there are no structures, certain parts of Africa, certain parts of the islands where there are no structures. I'm sure you go to Jamaica. And if somebody finds out that somebody lied to you in Jamaica, so what? Yeah, well, that's just a lie. It's just a non-truth. It's not as big a deal as if you get caught in Sweden telling a lie. So Now this goes with personality as well. If you're the kind of personality that has a loose personality and you're a person who says, easy goes, everything is okay. If you're that kind of a person, when you discover that someone has lied to you, you don't have as big a reaction as if you're somebody who is rigid, somebody who has a great structure, somebody who's trying to make sure that they live their life on the basis of everything that they find is real. They want everything to be real. And so they find out something's not real, they have a much bigger reaction because it engenders anxiety. So that's the, then there's this individualism versus collectivism theory of lying, which has to do with individualistic cultures define people as who they are as individuals, you know, an individualistic culture. It's relevant in cultures where the bonds between individuals are loose. Each person is expected to take care of themselves. And then opposing that is a collective society. In a collective group, everybody works together. So in China, you know, people are all part of a collective. For example, where they see themselves as a collective, American is more individualistic. Lying to benefit others is more acceptable in collectivistic rather than individual society. So if you lie about something in a collective society, people think, oh, well, it's for the benefit of everybody. But if you're an individual society and if you're separate, you see, the lying is not as acceptable. This is Armand DeMille. Hope I'm not getting too confusing for you. I see that I might be, so I'll slow it down and we'll take your calls in a little bit. Six different kind of lies. Let's start with them this way. Flattery. In order to achieve your goals, people may butter up others who can assist them in achieving their desires. Flattery. So if you want to have sex with somebody, you flatter them. If you want to get sell something to somebody, you flatter them. It may occur in situations where students want to obtain better grades, or when people attempt to get better positions at work, even your physician will flatter you to keep your business flowing. Thus, it's common for people to flatter others who are in a position to assist them in achieving their goals. Flattery is an interesting thing. You know, in Japan, flattery is not too welcomed. You know, they don't. I think part of the reason that you bow is to humble yourself when somebody flatters you, because there's a belief that if you have the power to flatter me, then you have the power to criticize me, and I don't want you to have that power. So I'd rather you did not flatter me, because to flatter me, to tell me how great I am, means that you have the right to criticize me. So it's a mistake, I think, in the Japanese culture, or when encountering Japanese people in the Japanese culture, to compliment them. It's a mistake. That thing that you see when they look humble is not so much humble as it may be anger. How dare you do that to me? How dare you flatter me? Another form of lie is called enhancing others' self-esteem. People sometimes wish to make other people feel better about themselves, and they may wish to avoid making others look bad. Helping others to have a positive self-image, positive reinforcement, the kind of thing that we were talking about with your children, telling them that they're great and they're wonderful. No matter what they do, they show you a painting, it's a schmear, and you look at it and you say, this is gorgeous, you're better than Picasso. That kind of lying, parents do it, enhancing others' self-esteem. Latest research we found out is when that's done with children, it leaves children on very shaky grounds. That it is not something that seems to work, even though it is positive reinforcement. Positive reinforcement is one way to do positive reinforcement that's within truth, and there's another way to do positive reinforcement that's a lie. You know? Another reason people lie is conflict avoidance. People often weigh honesty against the other person's potential reaction to unwelcomed information. And the perceived negative consequence from the other increases as you perceive a greater negative impulse, the more likely you are to deceive them. So if you're somebody who has people lying to you all the time, then you are a reactive person. Then you are somebody who people look at and they say, oh, I don't want to deal with her reaction when I tell her the truth. So if people lie to you, it means that they are afraid of you, afraid of the reaction that you might have. So the more explosive a person is emotionally, the more they get lied to. Because people want to look at them and say, I don't want that person to explode all over me. I like to tell them the truth. So if you go out with somebody who's a really passionate person and you say to them, hey, I'd like to, I went out with you one time and I slept with you, but I didn't enjoy it so much and I'm not going to call you anymore. Right? But you know this person is going to have a meltdown by you saying it. You say instead, I'm going to be busy next week because I've got to, you know, dog is eating my homework and I have to take care of it and I got to do this and do that. See, lie. And so the person who is deeply emotional and emotionally reacts very strongly will tend to have people lie to them more than the person who is more calm. That doesn't make you bad. We need people who are deeply emotional. We need people who have great passions. We need that. But then don't go fighting about how you can't find the truth anywhere because people are going to look at you and they're going to chicken out. Conflict avoidance appears to be one of the primary motivations for lying. This idea is supported in a couple of studies in which the major motive for lying is to avoid consequences. You avoid the consequence, don't want to tell the truth. Another form, so we have two so far, three, flattery, enhancing others' self-esteem, conflict avoidance. Number four, impression management. People report verbally deceiving other people to protect themselves from humiliation, loss of face, or emotional pain. These are painful experiences that most people would prefer to avoid. They also seek to protect their self-image, as well as the way they're viewed by other people. Thus, it's likely that a desire to preserve a positive impression motivates people to lie. If people like you because you're such a nice person. I have a friend who's a very nice man. My friend Mike. Very, very nice man. He's in a powerful position. Catapulted into a powerful position because he's such a brilliant man. And as a result of being in this powerful position, people tend to come to him with many aggravations and angers and complaints. And he has to deal with them. And he's dealing with them all the time. And I'm watching him boil. He's such a nice man because he likes to stay nice. And so he deals with these people over and over again because he's maintaining his image, even to the point where he has now started lying to people about how he's going to take care of them. Oh, I'll take care of that. You know, I'll do that for you, you know, because of that very, very reason. He wants to save this image of himself. I'm a great guy. I'm a nice guy. Another reason people leave is to lie is to self-aggrandizement. People may try to make themselves appear to be better than they really are in order to obtain the objects they desire. For example, if a person wants you to invest in something they have, they may show up driving a very fancy car, wearing the best suits, to show you the image of success. And they may tell you about how successful they are because they want to get your money. People might be inclined to lie in order to make friends, to attract dates, to obtain jobs. All of this is making yourself bigger than you are. Kind of makes sense, you know? In fact, making oneself appear better than one is could be beneficial in many different circumstances. So people may be motivated to lie for the purpose of this self-aggrandizement. Because society kind of demands it. I remember once in looking on a resume, and it's on the resumes that people tend to take something. Like I was trying to hire somebody to work here as a therapist at my clinic, and I looked at her work, and she had just gotten out of school, and she had written 14 pages. about one field work assignment she did, which was nothing. She was there, she was interviewing people, and that was it. But she built this up to such a point that she had to do this, and then she had to do this. 14 pages on a resume about something she did that was part-time work while she was in school. Another form of lying is called instrumental. Lies can sometimes make people's goals more attainable. Thus, people may lie about the value of something when they're trying to get a high price for it. That's instrumental lying. Instrumental lies do not benefit the recipient of the lie. They simply make one's own goals more attainable. You know? Get this house. It's going to stop. It'll be on the market today. By tomorrow, the people will be in here, and there'll be no way that you'll be able to buy it because everybody else is going to buy it. The housing market is great for that. You know? Take it today. As you get older, you get to learn, you know. If it's not available tomorrow, I think I won't touch it. You know, if you're going to hurry me to buy it, I think I'll wait. And of course, if the person selling it to you doesn't want to give you the time to wait, you know, they say, no, you got to get it, you got to get it. The more emphasis they put on it, they may be right. I mean, I know apartment hunting, sometimes you have to grab the apartment on the spot because there are so many people looking for it. But in 99% of the cases, when you are pressured to do something, you're pressured for the benefit of the person. It's an instrumental lie. It is not that this thing is worth so much. It's that we got to get you to get it because you got to make a commitment. So, my friends, these are the different forms of it, but we're going to get to you and some of the different forms that you experience. And when we get back, we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. A couple of questions about you. Maybe I'm going to ask you to tell me a lie. That wouldn't be a bad idea. How would you like to do this? How would you like to call up on WBAI and tell me something about yourself? Well, I'm going to put together exactly what I want from you. Don't call up yet, but when you do, it's 212-209-2900. After the break, I'm going to be taking your calls. I'm going to ask you to tell me the difference between a lie and a truth. And I'm going to ask you not about a lie, but I'm going to ask you about a truth. And I'm going to give you the theory of the penny, the nickel, and the dollar when we come back. I'll be right back with you. We're going to take a short break. After we come back, we will be starting our action. And this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. Here's a little music for you. little break for you. That's Mustafa Tetley, T-E-T-T-E-Y, Tetley Adi, Adi. Mustafa Tetley Adi. You know, if you're ever curious about the music that we play here on BAI, when you go to the website, if you go to the website, thepositivemind.com, you get generally at the bottom of every program that's archived, you will have the music that I played that day, usually two songs, one during the break and then one on the outro. And then if you want to, you can actually, it actually shows you a click on where you could order directly from Amazon if it's available. You know, or iTunes, no, I think it's Amazon. And, or maybe iTunes, I'm not sure, which of, I think it is Amazon. So, we kind of hooked that up for you as far as we could take it, or of course you could go get it yourself. But the music is all listed there, it's not a pretty thing. All right, now let's talk about the world. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. In case you just tuned in, we are talking about forms of deception and self-deception and presenting yourself and imaging. And we're talking about, you know, things that they've done. You understand that there are, I mean, imagine, you know, when they get a prisoner in a thing and they start beating him or they start torturing somebody, what are they trying to do? They're trying to say, tell me the truth. Right? Tell me the truth. And he says, no, 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 I'm not lying. Well, we'll give you an electrode to see if you lie. Oh, no, no, I'm not lying. We'll give you an injection of LSD and see if that makes you tell the truth. I'm not, I'm lying. Okay, well, we'll threaten to take away your mother. All right, I'll tell you the truth. You know, it's like whatever it is that gets to people, the idea of torture. Now, this idea of skillfully, not even torture, but just skillfully interviewing people to get the truth is a major field of forensics. I mean, people go to college for this and then they go to graduate school. What are you? I'm a lie detector. You know, what do? I interview people to find out if they're telling the truth. And they study things like body postures, like facial expressions, like the temperature of their skin, because they use lie detector tests. But just as there are many lie detector tests, about a quarter of the people that take them are skilled at defeating them. So that's why you can't put them in court. You know, a person who volunteers for a lie detector test generally is skilled at defeating a lie detector test, or they're telling the truth. So you can't really tell anything from that, but we have a field. Imagine, why would somebody go into the business of detecting lies? What kind of childhood did they have? That's the kind of childhood where you grew up and you never knew what the truth was. So you became a truth specialist. What do? I'm a truth specialist. What does that mean? It means I can tell when people are lying. Oh, really? Well, that's very interesting. Are you interested in dating me? What can you say? How can you answer a person who's a truth examiner? You know, if you're not interested. Some of the stuff they did at the University of Texas, where they study lying a lot. Part of what they've learned is that there are a few things that liars do. Liars tend never to use first-person pronouns when they're talking. Liars avoid statements of ownership. They distance themselves from the stories, and they avoid taking responsibility for their behaviors. So they're more likely to say, I lost my keys. As they would say, the keys were misplaced. They tend to avoid the possessive I. They don't say, I did. They talk about it having happened a lot. So one thing about liars is they don't know that they would, you know, if you're a really skilled liar, you learn how to use the first person. But they tend not to do it. And they tend to use more negative words, such as hate, and worthlessness and negative words than they do positive words. Liars tend not to talk about feelings that they have that are positive. They tend to talk about the negative feelings more. And then they use fewer exclusionary words. Like they never would say to you something, never would say, I just use an exclusionary word. They would say, you know, it's going to be beautiful weather if you buy this vacation package, except if you're going next week. Well, a liar will never give you the exceptions. So, you know, like, this is a wonderful house to buy unless it rains. They don't give you the unless it rains. So when you hear general statements that don't have exclusionary statements in them, which are qualifiers, you might be dealing with people who are liars. And that maybe whatever they're telling you is a lie. And it's a pity. We got to live in a world where we got to figure out what's true and what's not. Pick up a package, you know. A thing looked at the bottle of vitamin water the other day. Oh, vitamin water, what a good thing. Vitamins, right? Enormous amount of sugar. Enormous. It's sugar water with a little something thrown in, you know? So you can't really trust what you see. Unfortunately, we're in a world of detecting, but this is not just true of us. It's true of every animal in the world. Why do you think dogs have good noses? So they can detect the good stuff from the bad stuff. What to eat as opposed to what not to eat. Why do you think animals use their eyes to perceive things? Of course, everybody is doing this. Every intercourse need to figure out words, and they need to figure out, are words good or are words not good? Are the words that they are saying, are they real or are they not real? So this happens to you a lot. So here's something I'd like you to do. I'd like you to tell me something about yourself. Now, we must remember that we have to stay within the rules of decency here on WBAI, because we have a number of people who listen who say, hey, if you say bad things on the air, we're going to take you off the air. So we are always keeping WBAI on the air by asking you to always not say the words that you think you shouldn't say. Don't take just phrases. I mean, talk decently. Just because that's the rules currently, and the rules are very stringent and very dangerous to violate, because we want to stay on the air, because we want to keep bringing you WBAI. But let's say you call in. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me something about yourself. Now, I want you to take a risk. I want you to tell me something about yourself that makes you nervous to tell. Now, the risk is either going to be a penny risk, which means I'm telling you something about myself, but it doesn't feel very dangerous to tell it. A nickel risk, well, it feels a little dangerous to tell it, but I'm willing to do it. Or a dollar risk. A dollar risk is I feel very nervous saying this, but it's a truth about myself that I almost never tell anybody. And it's something about myself and the way I feel. So when you call with 212-209-2900, I want you to call and tell me about about something about you, and something about you, and something about the way you feel, something about you that other people don't know. And it could be a penny risk, a nickel risk, or a dollar risk. Our telephone number, 212-209-2900. We'll take a call. T-Dub, hi, you're on the air. We're going to get these calls through in just a moment.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. Who is this?
This is Hague from Westchester. Armand, what's the boundary line between an exaggeration and a lie? When does an exaggeration become a lie?
Well, you know, that's a good point. Do you have your radio on?
In another room.
Yeah, can you turn it off?
Sure.
I'll wait for you. I don't know if it's true that it was in another room.
It is.
Yeah, I didn't know it was. Maybe
the big room.
Maybe it's that. Okay, what's the difference between an exaggeration and a lie? Well, you tell me the difference. What's the difference between
I'm not sure.
But
at some point, an exaggeration does become a lie if it's said over and over again, and if each time it's told, it becomes magnified.
Well, an exaggeration is a lie, misrepresenting anything. I mean, if we're going to say lies are bad, then we're in trouble, because if we already put this, you know, this punishment on it, you're going to be punished for telling
lies. No, I'm not saying lies are bad, because...
Okay, but exaggerations are falsehoods that are...
Suppose you hit a home run, and it went over the left field fence, and it was 300 feet, and as you tell the story, year by year, it becomes 310, 320, 330, 340, 400.
Sure.
I mean, that's not a hurtful lie. It's just an exaggeration.
No, okay, so now hurtful is where the story comes in. But what does it mean, you know? The lie means you are becoming more fragile over the years. And your story of the 300-footer no longer carries the power. And it doesn't elevate you as much as it used to. So you have to raise it up to a 310.
That's an excellent point.
You know, then you have to raise it up to a 320 because you become a little more fragile. I speak to some folks, especially older folks, you know, some folks in their 70s and 80s sometimes, and I listen to their telling stories. And when you speak to someone, especially someone who's really challenged, psychologically challenged, they lie like crazy. Exaggeration. You know, George Bush is my best friend. I mean, they, you know, I mean, they go bigger and bigger and bigger. So the more frail you get, the more you tend to make things a little prettier than they really are.
Especially, that's exactly true. And also, they probably have more difficulty separating the truth from the reality.
Well, that's what happens after a while. Exaggeration tends to become the way that it is. You know, it becomes hard to remember exactly what the original thing was. Did you hit a home run over the fence? Did you ever do that?
Oh, sure.
How big, how far was the fence? Was
I don't really remember. It wasn't very far, though.
But it was a good feeling, wasn't it?
It was a great feeling.
A great feeling. How old were you when you hit that home run?
Probably about 16.
16 years old. Give me exactly what the situation was.
Well, we were behind by 2 runs. Unfortunately, there was no one on base, so my home run didn't count. We still were behind 1 run.
Uh-huh.
And I think we lost that game, but I don't really remember.
You don't remember that part, but you are up at bat. 16-year-old you, what's your first name?
Haig.
Abe?
Haig, H-A-I-G.
Haig. So 16-year-old Haig is up at the plate, and he's and everybody, come on, Haig, get on base, get on base, get on base. Haig, do something. You know, we're here we are. We're losing by 2 runs. Come on, Haig, do something. And, Haig, was your family in the watching the game?
Oh, no. They were working.
They were working. They didn't come to the game very often, right?
No.
So when you hit this home run, you connected. You felt that ball. Was it softball or hardball?
Hardball.
Hardball. You heard the crack of that bat. It went whack.
Right.
And that ball, did you know right away it was a home run?
Yeah, you could tell from the sound.
Well, you could tell from the sound. You could tell. You said, I did it. And you go around and you're kind of sailing around like an angel above the ground. Is that not right?
That's a pretty accurate feeling.
And even now, as you describe it, it was a, not a good feeling, maybe the very best feeling you ever had in your life.
Well, I won't go so far as to say that, but certainly in terms of baseball, it was the best feeling I had.
Well, how about in that time of your life at 16 years old? Best feeling you ever had around then? I mean, that was pretty terrific.
Yeah, I would say so.
There's only one thing missing.
What's that?
Your parents weren't there.
Yeah, but they weren't much on sports.
So what happens when you go home and tell them?
Big deal. How are you doing in school?
See? So, geez, so what do you say to them? You say to everybody else, you tell, you know, somebody tell me it's not a big deal. Well, I'll tell you something, Haig. That home run was a big deal. It was great. Congratulations. If it was 200 yards, congratulations.
Thank you. It wasn't that far.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Congratulations. For a guy who was doing something and his parents didn't think anything of it. It's little wonder that over time you would tell the story and tell the story and just build it up a little bit. Come on, somebody, be my daddy who's going to say, okay, kid, congratulations.
Well, it really wasn't necessary because all my friends were there. You know, it was a local game.
Yeah.
So they all saw it. And
they really pat you on the back, right? They
yeah.
loved you. Good. Thank you, Haig. Good story. Thank you. Thank you for calling
in. Okay, Armand. Great show. Keep up
Thank
the good
you.
Work.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. We're talking about nickel stories, penny stories, dollar stories. Let's hear from someone else. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Mon. How are you?
Good.
Okay, my name is Sharon, and I have a comment for the question you posed, like a penny nickel or a dollar.
Penny nickel or a dollar.
Oh, a dollar. Okay. I guess it's kind of, well, I did have a comment first about, before I went into that. You had stated earlier you were talking about different cultures and how they perceive lying.
Yes.
I would just say that we want to, and I know you mean well, but we want to get the fair and not get caught in oversimplification of different cultures, because I remember you mentioned the Jamaican culture and how they don't really have a problem with lying, because something about the culture not having structure.
Yeah, no, it's not that the culture doesn't have structure. They don't have as much structure as a very Germanic culture. It was a comparison.
Right.
So it's not that, you know, oh, those Jamaicans are so loose that they just,
right.
You know,
and
it's not that. I could use Italians, too. I could use
right.
that as well, but it's not, it is saying by comparison.
Right, yeah, well, I was listening to you, and I dated a guy, a Jamaican man, for several years, and that's one of the biggest things that he hated was lying, and he would always accuse me of lying, but that's
was he a very structured guy?
Yes, he was.
Was he a kind of obsessive compulsive guy?
I would say so.
Yeah, so you see, there it is.
But then I dated him, so maybe I'm being a little biased.
So he was a Germanic Jamaican.
Yeah. Well, I already told you a lie because my name is not Sharon, but that's because of what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
My truth was when I was a teenager. I went through this stage where I stole constantly, and I would steal from every job that I had. So I guess that it would be considered a dollar, because that's not who I am today. But I stole from Macy's when I used to work at Macy's. I stole from a little snack shack. I used to work there. I would constantly.
What kind of things would you steal? Like a little food or jewelry?
Well, at Macy's, I would steal clothes, and then I would have my little friends come in, and then I would give them clothes. And then at the snack shack, I would have people give me exact change, and I would take that and put it in my pocket. My girlfriend showed me how to do that. And it's really weird because I wasn't raised that way, you know, but I just got really comfortable doing it.
Well, what way were you raised?
Well, I was raised not to steal.
And who told you not to steal?
My mom and my dad.
And what did they say to you about stealing?
They said that, well, they were religious. I come from a religious family. And, you know, they said, thou shalt not steal, and that's one of the Ten Commandments, and don't do it. And, you know, and it would have been an embarrassment on my family if I gotten caught.
How many people were in your family?
Brothers and sisters?
Yeah, brothers and sisters. Were you in the middle?
I'm in the middle.
Yeah, you're a middle child, and you're a middle child, and the only way for middle children to get love very often is to steal it. How are you possibly going to get admired? Did they admire you?
My mother loves me to death. That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
She really, I, you know, some people argue that I'm her favorite child.
And what about your dad?
My dad, yes, he passed on, but definitely he was definitely very affectionate towards me as well. That's funny that you say that. I never thought about that.
How does that connect to your stealing?
Well, you know, you had also mentioned how do you feel saying it out loud, and do you feel ashamed? I did. I used to be embarrassed about it, but I actually used it to my advantage because a couple of years ago I worked with disadvantaged women and women on public assistance, and I would use that when I spoke to them. I would tell them about my past and tell them, you know, kind of like a subject where, you know, you can grow or you can change, because they looked at me, a lot of people look up to me today as someone that, you know, is highly respected, people that know me.
Yeah, so let's say I respect you, whatever your name is. You know, but let me ask you something. If you could line up all the people who were managers, who were in charge of the places from where you took things that you weren't entitled to right now, and if all of them were somewhere in the ethers and tuning into WBAI, and they said, is that where that money went? Is that where that clothing went?
Uh-huh.
Right? If you could line them all up, every one of them, and if you knew that a true apology would exonerate you, Would you make that apology?
Oh, yes.
Then do it.
Wait,
I didn't say make excuse.
Okay.
I didn't say make excuse. I said make apology.
But you know what the bigger question would be, I think?
Yeah.
My mom still doesn't know I did that. So I think because those people, I don't even know who they were. I looked at it as kind of like a
establishment. I know. So let's go back.
You mean go back to Macy's?
No. I'm saying right here, right now.
Oh, apologize right now.
Yeah, right here. Slow down. Slow down so you could feel it. You know, when people talk fast, they don't feel anything.
Okay.
So imagine if right now, because you're here on the air with whatever your first name is, maybe you really want to tell us your real first name so you could do it. You know?
Okay.
Unless your mother's listening. What's your first name?
My name is Cherie.
Cherie. Okay, Cherie. Look, Cherie, for you, and I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there who feel the same way. You know, like, I remember one kid who used to steal from this luncheonette where we used to go. And the guy at the luncheonette was a wonderful guy. He gave away free things to the kids all the time. But this one kid kept stealing from him all the time. And I wish that kid could have at one point turned around and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Brown." So to all the people out there who you ever took something from that you shouldn't have taken, you got it shot right now, Cherie. Now, do it.
Everyone, I am so very sorry. It was a phase that I went through.
Don't explain it.
Okay, I'm sorry. But I'll tell you one
thing. Wait. Slow down. I got to get the emotion. Okay. See, this is where the feeling comes in. Okay. With the "I'm sorry" and the problem with people who apologize is they apologize and then they go on to explain. An apology could just be felt and you say, "I'm sorry." And you end
it
right there.
No, I wasn't going to explain. I was just going to tell you, if it helps for people out there listening, it has come back to me, karma. Because I owned a business, a cash business, where I employed a lot of teenagers. And I can assure you that many of them stole from me. And you know what? Because of my past and what I did as a teenager, I don't think it affected me the way that it would have.
Well, you know,
else.
Cherie, I'll bet you created a business where people would steal from you so that you could exonerate yourself.
You're probably right.
This is great. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you.
Sure,
have a good
Cherie.
Day.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, these people, I love them so much. They're so beautiful. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. I can't take any more calls because we're out of time. Because we're getting down near the wire here. And there is so much I would like to hear from so many of you. But, you know, you can send me an email. Armand@thepositivemind.com. Thepositivemind.com. Send me an email. If you want to tell me about something that's significant to you, tell me about it, you know. Maybe it would help you. And I will be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Nice being with you, and thanks, T-Dub, for the wonderful engineering. We're going to give you a little music, and if you want to hear today's show, you can go to thepositivemind.com and listen to any of our rebroadcasts. Aja Adi.